Would you turn, be pleased, to the book of Psalms in Psalm 146? Book of Psalms in Psalm 146. The Lord would enable us, we might consider together verse 5. Psalm 146 and verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he that the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. I'm sure it's true of all of us that we have a tendency to look to people, to look to leaders, to look to politicians, to solve the problems that confront us, whether they are our own problems or the problems of a nation. They tend to look to people to solve the problems and to praise them if they have gained some success. And I suppose this is true of national problems. It's true of us as individuals. We tend to look to others to help us. And it's true even in the church. We can focus on people, what they have done to bless and to help the church in our difficulties. Well, this psalm is a reminder to us that such looking to man is totally misplaced. That people often will fail us. He says, put not your trust in princes, the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Well, sometimes they end up not there to help, and their plans often are brought to nothing. And yet sometimes there might be apparent success, but apparent success does not necessarily mean lasting success. A classic example would be seen in the case of Omri, one of the kings of Israel. Omri brought material success to the northern kingdom of Israel. That was undoubted. And yet he caused Israel to sin. And references me to the statutes, that is the laws of Omri, that were followed by the people. And ultimately was to lead to the calamitous destruction of the northern kingdom and then being taken into captivity. And so, for example, in Micah chapter 6, verse 16, for the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels. That, this is the result, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Upon success, without God, will ultimately be a curse on any people. And so this psalm is written, perhaps by David, could be another, we don't know. And it is encouraging us to trust in God. Surely that's a message that is needed in the day and age in which we live. If one thing has been made clear over the past year, surely it's this, that our leaders often are out of their depths, and even when they think that they are getting a handle on things and beginning to succeed, the Lord can so easily turn their thoughts and their plans upside down. And so this psalm is saying, praise God, trust God, do not praise man, do not trust in man. Here then is a text of scripture that it would do well for us to take heed daily, that we might remember who we are to trust and who we are to praise. Here is something that we as a nation need to learn, and something that we as individuals need to learn. Well, happy is he, what a contrast you see. Happy is he that the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Two things are brought before us in our text. First of all, who our God is. And then secondly, what he is to us. Who our God is and what he is to us. And this is to encourage us to place all our confidence in the Lord alone. Who our God is. Well, you notice two names are given to God here. First of all, he is called the God of Jacob. And then secondly, he is Jehovah, our God. And what precious names these should be to us. Who our God is? Well, he is the God of Jacob. That reminds us of four different things, that very name. It reminds us, first of all, that God is the God of the individual. He is the God of the individual. If you think of it, many princes, many leaders are busy. They have the affairs of state to attend to. And the bigger the state, or the bigger the empire, the more they have on their plate. And therefore, in the busyness of life, the individual can so easily be overlooked. It's either that or they're absorbed with themselves and their own position and their own prestige. They have to maintain their own power. What's the result? Well, many of the princes of this world, most perhaps it might be said, do not really deal with the needs of the individual. You see, what is needed is someone who, in verse 9, will execute judgment for the oppressed, will give food to the hungry, will loose the prisoners, can he open the eyes of the blind, raising those who are bowed down? Are they able to do such things, to preserve the strangers, relieve the fatherless and widow, while turning the way of the wicked upside down? There are many personal problems here. Who is our God? He is the God of the individual. Yes, he is Lord of the universe. He is Lord over all, blessed forever. He is the one who controls everything that goes on in this vast creation. Or when you bring it down to the level of Israel, he is the king and the head of his church. Have you noticed how he calls himself here? The God of Jacob. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He is the God of the individual. He is the one who has a personal relationship with each one of his own believing people. And we can say that he in many ways deals with us as if we were alone in the universe, as if we are the only ones, the God of Jacob, the God of the individual. And that should be an encouragement to us, because this evening you have your own individual fears and concerns and needs, and they will not be like anyone else's. Your situation in life, in many ways, is unique. But is it not good to know that the Lord knows you as an individual, and that he is one who deals with and cares for his people as individuals? And you see that in so many different ways. If you think of how people are converted even, then he deals with them. An individual way. There is no one set pattern by which God works to bring a person from a state of sin into a state of grace. Things are different. Yes, there are common patterns, and there are certain things that must happen, but he deals with people in unique ways, and we must remember that. Your experience might not be the same as someone else's, but as long as you have turned from sin to the living God, as long as your hope is in Christ, then that is the main thing. And it can be said of you that the God of Jacob is your God. And as he brings his people individually into the kingdom, so he continues to lead them as individuals in his kingdom. And he leads them through various experiences. And it is all tempered individually for our good. I suppose we can say that's true of individuals, of congregations, of nations. What a blessing is the God of the individual. Do you feel alone this evening? And perhaps no one understands you. Well, how good to know. He is the God of Jacob, God of the individual. But he's also the God of the sinner, the God of Jacob. Aren't you thankful that this is one of his names? Think of who Jacob was. Think of what the name Jacob means. The name Jacob means deceiver or a supplanter. Was that not the response of Esau when he discovered what had happened? That not only had his brother Jacob encouraged him to sell his birthright, he had also, in a deceitful way, obtained the blessing. Art thou not rightly called Jacob, a deceiver, a supplanter? Now, we've no reason to think that Jacob was not a believer at this point. He valued the blessing. He valued the promises of God. These things were precious to him in a way that they were not to Esau. The promise of the Redeemer was a real precious thing to him. And yet, what do you find? He will brazenly lie to his father to obtain the blessing. What do you see? You see the fact that the flesh is there and that the heart is the same ourselves. Who knows what depths of we might plummet to. How slow Jacob was to learn these things. But God is not ashamed to be known as the God of Jacob. God does not disown him. He cares for him. You remember how he met with the penitent Jacob at Bethel in Genesis chapter 20, who promises to guard him, be with him, to take him where he is going, to bring him back, and he will worship in that spot. The God of the sinner. Is it not good to know that our God is still the God of the sinner? How often God's people fall into sin. As you are a penitent sinner, as long as you are one who, when you do fall into sin, repent of that sin, grieve over it, return to God, you have the hope that he will receive you and restore you again. Yes, the fellowship may be disrupted so long as you do not confess your sin. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These things I write unto you that ye sin not. Oh, there's never an excuse for sin. We must never think that, because he's the God sinner. Well, it doesn't matter. There's never an excuse. Jacob suffered for what he did. And you will suffer if you deliberately sin as a believer. But on the other hand, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Friend, is that how you draw near? Is that how you want to be known? You want to know God, even as the God of Jacob, and you come as one who are a sinner to a holy God, clinging to Christ alone, the God of Jacob. I suppose we can also say that the God of Jacob reminds us that he is the God of the tribe. Verses 7-9, there's a list of many different trials. Those that are oppressed and hungered, imprisoned, blind, bowed down. They are strangers, are fatherless and wicked, and widows. There are many practical trials of life. Real trials. Challenging trials. Isn't your life full of these sort of things? And often you're looking for relief. And sometimes you wonder, does God really love me? Am I really a child of God? Would he allow me to go through certain things if I was one of his people? Where is his love in allowing this to happen? Well, you remember Jacob. And you remember his problems. You think of all the difficulties he had with Laban, of how he was treated in a mean, selfish, harsh way by Laban. You think of how it wasn't Rachel that he ended up marrying, but Leah. That's how Laban treats him. You think of difficulties that he had with Esau. You think of the difficulties that he experienced with his sons and with Joseph. You think of how he speaks of the days of his years of his pilgrimage being few and difficult. Look at that in Genesis 47. Well, that's the way it is with God's people. You see, just because we're experiencing trials does not mean to say that we are cut off from God, or that God is against us, and that God is necessarily even chastening us. He's teaching us. There's not necessarily a rebuke. You think of how God remembered Jacob. Surely there's a lesson from this. Those who advocate a prosperity gospel, they evidently do not read scripture. They contradict the experience of God's people in the world and in life. The Lord was with Jacob, with the trials, and he'll be with you, dear believer, in the midst of trials. And as he met Jacob with promises and with relief, so as you look to him, he will meet you with promises, with help, with relief. The God of triumph. I suppose just a final thing, when you think of that name, the God of Jacob, is the God of the living. The God of the living. That name, the God of Jacob, is a reminder to us that the relationship the believer has with God will never end. Remember how the Sadducees were mockingly denying the resurrection. Neither no scripture, nor the power of God, Jesus. God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of the living. It's not that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God. They're alive now. Yes, the bodies have to rise again, but they're alive now. He is the God of the living and not the dead. What a comfort to the believer when he's faced with death. What a comfort to the believer when he is bereaved and loses a loved one. Who is a believer himself, he is the God of Jacob. The Lord is kind to us in this psalm. He not only gives us the name the God of Jacob to encourage us, but you'll notice that he also calls himself Jehovah, whose hope is in the Lord, or in Jehovah his God. Who's our God? Well, he is God. The name God meaning strength, power. The one whose strength and power is seen as in creation. Verse 6, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Well, think of all that's in the world around us. Never mind what's in the heavens. Who is a God like unto thee? The creator, the sovereign ruler of the universe. Here are kings and they are not in control, often even of their own families, never mind their own court or their own country. Eventually they die out. Their God is the Almighty, the one who shall reign forever. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord, verse 10. What encouragement. He is God. He's in control. He reigns. He'll always be in control. He always reigns. And that means he can help us. That means he can keep us in faith. And unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you before the brightness of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power forever. And let us put our amen to that. He is the Almighty who is able to keep us. What an encouraging name. And he is Jehovah, our God. Jehovah, the life giver. The one who has given existence to all things. Because he is the God who has life in himself, who communicates life to all that there is, who brings it into being, who gives life to all that lives. And then he is the one who has brought you into spiritual life. Yes, man will die, but he is the living, life-giving God. He has given you spiritual life. And will he not maintain that life in your soul? Trust him. He is Jehovah, the God of the covenant, the Saviour, unlike man, who cannot help. He is the one who can help. He is the one who has given Christ to be the great surety, to be the Saviour, the surety of the covenant, the one who would undertake to do all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. and whose eternal plan for the salvation of sinners is being and shall be fulfilled, and it shall outwork perfectly in the salvation of a great multitude whom no man can number. Man's plans, his thoughts perish, but the one who is Jehovah, the God of the covenant, is the one whose plans shall endure. Well, are you in covenant? Have you laid a hold of that gospel plan of salvation? Have you laid a hold of that peace treaty tender to you in the gospel? Come, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. That mercy bound up in the greater Son of David, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you embraced it for yourself, that God might be your God, your faith in him? Now, are you keeping that covenant daily? Surely we should. If God is ours, then as we recognize him as Jehovah, the God of the covenant, well, we should renew daily our pledge to take God, Christ to be our God, Christ to be our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit to be our Comforter, and we should pledge loyalty to him. Would that not strengthen our faith? Would that not strengthen our resolve to be faithful to him? We are to be daily covenanted with God, looking to him to be our God. You'll notice the encouragement to do this, because he is the one who in verse 6 keepeth truth forever. In other words, he's faithful. Don't you get weary of the promises of the politicians? Don't worry. In a few months' time, this will be sorted. There won't be any coronavirus. You'll be able to go back to life as normal. Well, the wise will know that often politicians make promises they have no intention of keeping. Sometimes they make promises that, well, they don't know if they'll be able to keep them or not. Many leaders are untrustworthy. Many of them are changeable. But here is the Lord. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He is the God of truth, who is truth himself and truth to his promises. Who can trust him? He is faithful. He is sincere. He is Jehovah, our God. Who our God is? The God of Jacob. Who our God is? Jehovah is God. Well, that leads us to think, second, what he is to us. Do you see this? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, his hope is in the Lord his God. What is he to us? Well, three things. First of all, he is our hope. Our hope. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob, for his help, his hope, is in the Lord his God. That is, he's one that we can trust in. Well, I'm hoping that he'll help me. And I'm relying upon him to help me. We speak of that in reference to others. Here, there is a speaking in that way in reference to God, whose hope is in the Lord his God. He is the one who gives me confidence, who gives me hope as I trust in him. Can you think of how many people hope in themselves? They're relying upon themselves. Haven't you learned that's foolish? The Apostle Paul learned how foolish that was. It was a day when he was when he could speak and boast of who he was and what he had done, wrapped up with himself. The Hebrew of the Hebrews, the tribe of Benjamin, when he was circumcised the eighth day, and he can rattle off all the different things which he had done. Concerning the law, he was blameless. But Paul learned how foolish that was. All those things that were gained to me, all those things that I bragged of about myself, my upkeeping and my heritage and all the rest of it, these things I count but dung. They are. They're just filth that they are but dung. And what I want is to win Christ and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness, which is of the of God through faith in Christ. You rejoice in the Lord. He was his hope. He knew he alone could see it. How many people hope in man? Well, I hope our scientists figures out the problem we're in. I hope this vaccine is going to solve the problem. When the fullness comes, I hope the doctors will fix me. Well, think of man, his breath goes forth, he returns to the earth. And that very day, his thoughts perish. He's not off to the mark. No. Friends, let us remember, God is a true source of help. Let us therefore have all our confidence in God. We must place it when we place it in man. But our confidence is not misplaced when we trust in God, because we know who he is. And we know he is eminently trustworthy. Our hope is in him. And if you're finding that you're struggling to trust in him and entrust your concerns and your cares and your need to him, what do you need to do? You need to focus on his character. You need to remember who he is. You have to see how he has worked in the past. And as you focus on his character, and as you remember his works, your confidence will grow. Look elsewhere, and you will struggle. Look to yourself. Look to the strength of your faith. Look to the problems. It will get you open. You must look away from self. You must distrust even your own faith. You must take and lift it from the problems and the difficulties to the one who is able to help. And as you see him, remember who he is and what he has done, your hope will be strengthened. He is our hope. You'll notice he's also our help. Our help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You see, the psalmist, he's just saying, man's no help. Don't put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. You can't trust him. Because he can't help you. And if we go on in our own strength and wisdom, sooner or later we'll falter and stumble. Now he's not saying that God doesn't use people at times. God does raise up people. And he does expect us to do things. But what we need is the blessing of God in all that we do. Surely that's one of the great griefs to God's people in these days. But while there is much made of the science and the scientists and a vaccine and the work of doctors and nurses, and we are thankful for all these things, there's no mention of the blessing of God required, or the blessing of God sought for or given. And if it's all about man and what man can do, God is ignored. And the reality is, unless the Lord's blessing us upon a thing, there will be no lasting blessing. Omri, a classic example of a king who was so successful, and yet the statutes of Omri, following them, were the cause of the fall and destruction of Israel. Apparent outward success means nothing without the blessing of God accompanying it. And how we need to remember that, we must see things from God's point of view. We must see things in spiritual terms if we are going to make a proper assessment. But our hope, who is that in? The God of Jacob, the one who is able to help us. And isn't it the marvellous thing that he helps us despite our failings, despite the weakness of our faith? How often we end up crying out, help my unbelief. But the Lord does come and he helps. And he gives all sorts of help. In the context, the word there, help, can mean military help, or whether it's the military help to the nation, or whether it is the personal problems of life, whether they are physical problems or spiritual problems, look to him then. He is the one who will vindicate his people. He loves the righteous. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. He is the one who will vindicate his own, who will help those in difficulties. He helps the helpless, and he gives grace for every situation. What is he to us? Oh, let him be our hope, and let him be our help. And if we do that, we shall find he is our happiness. Our happiness. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, his hope is in Jehovah's God. Is that your source of happiness? That's the source of happiness of God's people. They know God is their God. And whether problems are removed or whether they continue, well, they know God is their God, and they have peace and joy and belief. They are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and they have a contentment in Christ. And they can walk with God, and have fellowship with God, and know his help and his presence. They know that at the end of the day, he may help them out of a situation, but if not, he will help them to cope with that situation. And they have contentment in him. Friend, you have that contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. As you know God, then you can see, happy is he that the God of Jacob for his help. I have contentment in him. And he is the ultimate source of happiness. We find that when we delight ourselves in God, he gives us our heart's desire, because our heart's desire is God's will, that he might be glorified either in removing the difficulty or in helping us to deal with the difficulty and leave things with him. We end up being able to see life might be hard, but nevertheless continually, O Lord, I am with thee. Thou dost behold by my right hand and still upholdest me. He becomes everything. Is he everything to you? Is he your happiness? Surely that's what he is to those who learn to trust in him. Let us therefore make sure that we have all our confidence in the Lord. That's what we need to do as a nation at this time. That's what we need to do as individuals. We realize he's worthy of our trust and place all our confidence in him. May we be enabled to see believingly and appreciatively, happy is he, that the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, is God. Let us pray. O Lord, thou art the hope and the help and the happiness of thy people. May we learn this more and more, that we might delight ourselves in thee, our God. Grant us thy blessing, bless the truth to our soul. As we go on in this new week thou hast given us, be thou our helper, be thou our hope, be thou our happiness. And give us joy and peace in the week, for Jesus' sake. Amen.